Rejoice in the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 14 to 20, Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 to 7, Luke chapter 3 verse 7 to 18. You may know that laughter has power. Indeed, laughter has a positive impact on our health and overall on our daily life. Laughter is even considered one of the remedies for healing. According to Northwestern Medicine, a recent study shows how powerful and beneficial laughter can be. Laughing releases endorphins, or neurotransmitters that bring a feeling of euphoria. At the same time, it stimulates circulation in our bodies, which increases oxygen intake and lowers blood pressure. From this, we know how important it is to laugh and stay joyful. As we are in the third week of Advent, which is Joy Sunday, today's reading encourages us to rejoice. First, today's Old Testament, Zephaniah 3:14 says, "Sing aloud, O daughter Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem." Actually, the prophet Zephaniah spoke this people of Jerusalem were in a precarious situation. They were close to God's judgment, punishment, and anger. Soon after Zephaniah's prophecy, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonian Empire. Even the faithful people of God could not avoid it. Nevertheless, Zephaniah called us to rejoice. Then, how can we rejoice and exult in the midst of suffering? How can the sick or the hungry rejoice and exult? It is not easy, even almost impossible for them. Although they tried to rejoice and exult, although they prayed for peace and joy, soon they returned to their set of darkness. There is no way to defeat it all at once. Then, why does Zephaniah call us to rejoice? This is because he knew that everything that makes you hungry, lonely, depressed, shameful, resentful, and hurt will be over. All those moments that are unbearable will eventually be over. If you are sure of this, you can hold out through the dark reality, and even you can rejoice and exult. But it is not enough to simply know that it will be over. We need to remember what will make us rejoice and exult in the end. Zephaniah clearly explains why we need to rejoice. This is because the day and the time when God will resolve all the dark situations is surely coming. Zephaniah spoke what God will do when the day and the time come. God will remove disaster. God will deal with all your oppressors. God will save the lame and gather the outcast. God will change your shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Furthermore, Zephaniah described the relationship between God and the people of God like this: "He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival." This reminds us of when we are falling in love. Lovers say to their beloved, "You are my joy." Zephaniah said that we are the joy to God. Right, as God is the root of our joy, we also are joy to God. Therefore, we cannot help rejoicing and exulting while we are waiting for Jesus Christ, who was and who is to come. Secondly, in today's New Testament, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Philippians is commonly called the book of joy. because it repeatedly urges us to rejoice. When we hear this message, sometimes we may think that we know that it would be great if we can rejoice always, but realistically, how is this possible? It is almost impossible. In the midst of depression, sickness, parting, loneliness, and hunger, who can really rejoice? Especially in this Christmas season, when it seems like everyone is so happy except me, how can I rejoice? Paul, who repeatedly urges us to rejoice, says to the Philippian church, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Generally, the word gentleness can be replaced with kindness, patience, compassion, generosity, and mercy. In the original text, the word for gentleness is epikeia, which implies all these natures, and it means spiritual perseverance that cannot be easily disturbed or stumbled even if there is adversity and damage. In other words, it refers to the attitude of giving up on one's natural right and being generous toward others. Paul used this term not to have this relationship with any particular person he likes, but for all kinds of relationships, even including those who persecute him. And indeed, this is the teaching of Jesus Christ and the essence of Christian life. In the early church, this gentleness was the most important characteristic of the church community. As church, we need to be the people who know the real joy and value of gentleness. Lastly, today's gospel reading reminds us what we should do as individuals and what we should do as church community. In this season of Advent, while we are waiting for Jesus Christ, who came into this world because of love and will come again. In Luke 3:10-11, the crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do like this." This reminds us of the messages from Zephaniah and Philippians. Eventually, God wants us to experience God's true joy through our practice of gentleness. In this season, many people, especially children, think that Christmas is the day for themselves. So they decorate a tree, bake cookies, prepare gifts for their joy. In one way, it is correct to think that Christmas is for me because Jesus came to this world for me. However, the more important point in the Christmas is Jesus came to this world not for himself, but for others. He came to this world for me and for you. To celebrate his birthday, what should we do? As the purpose of his birth, life, ministry, and even death was for others, we should do something for others too for Christmas. This is the real meaning of celebrating his birthday. However, to do something for others are not easy. Sometimes it asks us to step out of our comfort zone, or it brings us a lot of inconvenience and sacrifice. However, all of us are called for this from God. Rejoice in the Lord always, and let your gentleness be known to everyone. Then, what should we do to truly celebrate Jesus' birthday? Now, there is 9 days left till Christmas. Let us think about what we can do. I really like the ways Pastor Adam Hamilton challenges the readers of his book, Faithful, which is our Advent study book. He mentioned 3 ways to reach out in service to God to experience real joy. Be an angel for someone else. Answer God's call to a specific area of service even if it's outside our comfort zone. Care for children who are not our own. Especially this Christmas season, we are busy being an angel or Santa Claus to our own precious children and grandchildren. So, we spend a lot of time and money buying things for them who already have many and don't really need more. But then, what can we really do for Christmas? We may try to be an angel or Santa Claus to someone else who is in need. And there are many more ways to make our Christmas, Jesus' birthday, more special and meaningful. On this Joy Sunday and during this week of joy, I hope and pray that we all will rejoice through the most exciting, life-giving, and joy-filled experiences by letting our gentleness be known to many others. This is what we are called to do for this season. Praise God. Amen.